On Monday of this week, Toronto suffered a tragedy when a person used the van to kill and injure innocent people walking on the side of the Yonge Street. 10 people died and 15 have been injured. When you look at these kinds of, you know, a tragedy. You do not look at the religion or the creed or the color or ethnicity of the people. Therefore, on a human level, our sympathies are with the families of the victims, both those who were killed as well as those who have been injured. However, when such things happen, especially in Canada, for us Muslims, the first thought always is that I hope the fellow was not a Muslim. Otherwise, again and again and again, you know, we will have to apologize as a community for actions done by a very, very small fringe element who call themselves Muslims. The attempt was there, right in the beginning, you know, when you look at the right-wing media, there was an attempt to search for the Muslim connection. You know, for example, one of the reporters actually wished that the motive behind the attack was jihadism so that she could easily make sense of it. And there is no jihadism, so that when there is no Muslim connection, it's not easy to understand why it happens. This is where we have to think about it. Terrorism, violence done in this way, it is no creed, no religion, no color, no language, no ethnicity. This is found, you know, among all kinds of people. But alhamdulillah, you know, the overall attempt by such people, you know, did not find any traction. On the other side, we see the response shown by law enforcement agencies, the first responders, the emergency personnel, as well as the governments, from the local to provincial to the federal government. Their response and reaction was very positive for us, collectively as a country. And it shows the strength of what we believe to be the multiculturalism as an important part of this country. And this is what I believe, that we have to maintain that links and connections so that, you know, it doesn't happen the way it happened in the south of the border, where we see, you know, whenever such things happen, even people at the highest level just make remarks, and later on, you know, there is no any proof for it. And it's always put in the basket of the Muslims. The questions are coming in. Why did this person commit such a senseless act? Was there a psychological issue that he was suffering from? Was it deep depression that he was going into? Was this issue of rejected by women? All these kinds of, you know, theories are coming up. The issue of loneliness. And I would just like to kind of, you know, take that as a point of reflection for us today. That when we talk about this issue of depression and loneliness, you know, this is becoming a serious issue in the modern society. In the traditional ways, you have the extended family circle. So the support was there within the family. And then not only that, you know, people normally lived in areas where people of the same faith or ethnicity would be there. So you have this social network, you know, which takes care of people in an informal way. Unfortunately, coming to the Western part of the world, especially the modern lifestyle, which is also moving in the Eastern societies also, there is a lot of self-centeredness. You know, people are going into, you know, they don't want to live with others. And I'm not promoting here that, you know, all your children married should be living under the same roof. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, the issue of what Islam talks about, silatul rahim. You might have separate houses, but your heart should be connected to one another. And this is where, when you don't have that, you know, connection, this is where people sometimes fall through the cracks. This is where loneliness comes in. This is where, you know, depression comes in. And the secular governments now are, you know, realizing this is an important issue. It was interesting to see that some governments around the world have established what is known as the Ministry of Happiness. You know, just think about it. The United Kingdom, they actually have a minister for loneliness. A minister who is supposed to look at issues and, you know, come up with programs to deal with the loneliness, especially among the elderly people. You know, according to the British Prime Minister, she says, the sad reality of modern life is that, you know, there is loneliness in this way, and for people who have no one to talk to or share their thoughts and experiences with. We just celebrated the viladat of our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin, alayhi salatu wasalam. One of his most important legacies that we have is As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya, this book of dua. You know, this is where I say, I'm not asking you to go and read the whole book. At least just go and read the table of contents. So you know that which kinds of du'as are in this book. So sometimes, if you find yourself in a situation, you will remember, okay, you know, let me go and look at the list there. I might be able to find a du'a relevant to my situation. Go and read that. If you don't have a copy, you can read it online. You don't even have to buy. There's no more excuse. No more excuse. It is in Arabic. It is there in English, French, in Urdu, in Farsi, in Gujarati. There's no excuse, oh, Maulana, it's very expensive. You can get, you know, online free copies. Go and look at it. Look at the list. And that's where you'll come to realize that, you know, when we talk about the phenomenon of dua, this becomes very helpful, especially when we talk about the modern life. When people find themselves, you know, in a state of loneliness, instead of going to depression, look at the dua. You might not have a family member who is talking to you. You might not have a friend that you can express what is going through your mind and heart. But there is somebody who is always with you. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need to, you know, even think about it. It should be there as Muslims, as those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. In Surah Qaf, ayat number 16, he says, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. He says, this human being, doesn't he realize? We are closer to him than his jugular vein. I am there all the time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. You are the one who will go away. When we do tawbah, what is tawbah? We commit a sin, then we do repentance. The literal meaning of the word, atubu ilayh, is that I am returning back to him. He doesn't abandon us. We move away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's always there. In Surah Baqarah, an ayat relevant to the du'as that we have in the it's the season of du'as in Ramadan. It says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ أَنِّي that O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when my servants ask you, where am I? When they talk about Allah, they ask the Prophet, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Say to them, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ I am very close to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِي I respond to his dua when he calls me. But you have to have that ability to understand his response. فَلِيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي They should be responding when I call them, Allah says. وَلَيُؤْمِنُ بِي They should believe in me, trust me. This here is yu'minu, not in the meaning of iman. Here is the meaning of trust me, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. They will be guided in the right way. And this is where we have to realize that He is always there. Never ever feel lonely in that sense. Nobody might be there from the dunya, from Ahl al-Dunya, from the human beings, but He's always there. You don't need any appointment. You don't need to go to His office. Wherever you are, you don't need a referral from a Mawlana or a Murshid or a Shaykh. You know, you don't even need to know a specific language to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or if you are not able to speak, you know, even your thoughts will be a means of communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most importantly, you don't have to pay Him to listen to your problems. You know, so He is there. And so somebody who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should never ever allow this thought of loneliness to come to him or her. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the wisdom of the legacy and teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. Inna ahsan al-hadith kitabullah al-aziz, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim, wal-asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. Today two Shia schools in the Greater Toronto area organized a joint career day. As-Sadiq School and Wali Asr School in the Greater Toronto area. And this itself, inshallah, we pray that this will be the beginning of the joint efforts between the Shia schools in the Greater Toronto area. I was part of the ceremony of the beginning of that program, and I talked to the students about the issue of career planning. That yes, this is an important issue, especially in the Western part of the world. The modern life demands that, you know, students should be thinking about these issues from at least their high school age. And I basically was talking about the focus on the needs of the community. Do not only focus on what you want to do for your own, you know, satisfaction, rather look at the needs of the growing Shia Muslim communities in North America, and see wherever there is great gap or wherever there is need for certain expertise and specialization, this is where you come in. And I wanted to basically emphasize one point here for the community in general, that whenever you are doing whatever you do, part of your profession, your work, the way you have your livelihood, always remember that if you connect what is known as your worldly activities with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that also becomes a form of ibadat, an act of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created the jinn and the ins, the human beings, except for one purpose, so that لَيَعْبُدُونَ, so that they may worship, worship me. It doesn't mean Muslims have to just pray all the time, morning to the evening and evening to dawn, no. What it means is that whatever you do in your life, if you are able to link that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going in the morning for your work. Why you're doing this? You ask an ordinary person who has nothing to do with God, he says, well, you know, I want to have a good life, take care of myself and my family. That's fine. But if you look at it from a Muslim perspective, you will say, I'm doing this because my faith, my God says that I have to be responsible for myself. I don't have to depend on others. I have to fulfill my obligation towards my own family members. I have to provide for them and take care of them. That is my religious duty. If you go to that work with that perspective, it is not only a worldly act, it actually becomes an ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that same act, by changing the intention and linking it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes an ibadat. And this is so important for us to keep in mind that whatever we do, if it is not connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has no implication as far as the akhirat is concerned. You know, whatever we do, it's a very beautiful way Shaheed Murtada Mutahiri puts it, because it's important to keep in mind that even when we talk about doing things in order to help the community, so you're doing it, you are helping yourself also, but in the process, you're also fulfilling a need for the community. And that there, the niyat is very important. And sometimes the niyat becomes an issue which is linked to the concept of tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where Shaheed Murtada Mutahiri very beautifully puts it. He says, to work for oneself is egoism. If you're doing something just for yourself, it's for your own satisfaction. This is your ego. And you get this as a satisfaction, but don't expect anything from him. If you work for the people to please them, then he puts it in a way, he says, to work for the people is idolatry. You are doing it for them. To work for God and people, this is the fine line, we have to be careful about it. He says, to work for God and people is shirk. And this is where you come to the point, to do the people's work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawheed. And even to include yourself and God there, it's kind of a shirk. What you have to do, you have to have this intention that I'm doing for the sake of pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the process, of course, you're fulfilling your needs of your family, of your community. But this is where it becomes tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat upon the Akbar. There was a person who used to travel for his business to foreign land during the days of the sixth Imam. And his companions used to say that, you know, you go to this land of the mushrikeen. If you die there, if you're buried there, on the day of Qiyamah, you will be raised with the mushrikeen. And so he became very afraid. And sometimes people have this thought. You know, I'm told in 60s, Ayatollah Burujardi sent an alim to go to Japan. He stayed there just a few days and he came back. He said, if I die there, what will happen to me? You know, sometimes people have that kind of, you know, thinking. And this is where Imam told him something. He says, when you go there for your business, do you remember us? Do you talk about us? Do you talk about our deen? And he says, wherever I get the opportunity, yes, I talk about it. I talk about my faith, my deen, my imams. He says, if that is the case, then don't worry. Even though you die in the bilad of shirk, in the land of shirk. When you will be raised, you will be raised like an individual ummah on your own. Because you connected your work with this thought that I'm going there, doing my business, but wherever the opportunity comes, I'm also going to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the madhab of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. And so this is very important that you can take your own activity without changing anything. The only change has to be the focus and how you connect that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is where you will be rewarded for it in this dunya and the akhirah also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among the true followers of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad salawatullah ala ajma'in. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة النساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. ما يحيى آثار البدو والطغيان هادم يا أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاصل فر البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آبائه الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل الفرج وسهل المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.